Welcome into Brewcast post-holiday. Luke Yardy here, joined by Anthony Broom, just a couple of days away until Michigan takes the field against Florida in their New Year's Six Day Peach Bowl. Or not New Year's Six Day, New Year's Six Game. Anthony, I guess I must be still a little foggy from the holidays, man. How was your Christmas?
That was great. I hosted Christmas this year at the house that I've been doing all the work at, so it went well. The way I described it to earlier to a few people was that it wasn't like my Christmas, the hosting thing was like a Ben Mason touchdown. It was not pretty. It was maybe not 100% aesthetically pleasing, but it achieved the desired result and put 6 points up on the board. So that's all I could really ask for in year one of doing that. So.
Yeah, I saw your tweet, man. You kind of got it thrown on you last minute a little bit.
Well, okay. I feel like I don't want to throw anyone under the bus or anything, because I had put it out that, like, yeah, people were free to come over here on Christmas Day. And the understanding was that I'd be doing breakfast with my parents, and my brother would come. They'd come after church, and we'd do breakfast and all that, and that would be fine. And then whatever happened later happened. And then all of a sudden it became, hey, are you cool with just like hosting Christmas? And I was like, yeah, cool. So I had no issues with it. I enjoyed it. I was happy to do it. Just, you know, being in a grocery store, and I'm one of those people that overbuy. So I still have a bunch of stuff left over here.
Nothing wrong with that, man.
No, hey, podcast people, come on by. yeah, it went well. How was your Christmas, my friend?
Good, man. Real good. You know, just got to see a lot of family, a lot of friends. Here's the thing about Christmas, though. It's like my family's so big, like you don't rest. You know, like I had 3 days off of work, went back in today, but I felt like I was more tired today than I would have been if I worked those 3 days. You know what I'm saying?
Dude, I cannot stop sleeping. Like if I just sit down on the couch or the love seat for like a minute or in the recliner, I am out, or like the eyelids start getting heavy. So like I got it, and I work from home. So like there's a pretty good chance that I'm going to be in one of those spots at some point during the day. So I've been kind of fighting it the last few days, and I'll be honest. I mean, sorry to my employer and to my staff members at Maze & Brew, but my productivity has been not very good the last few days, but I feel like everyone's kind of in that same boat.
I think that's on par with the rest of the world, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. These next, because even once you get through Christmas, once you know, then you're like, okay, Christmas Day is over. Now it's like five days until New Year's Day. So then you're like, well, now we're just kind of coasting until that.
You go through the motions, man. It is what it is.
Yeah, the diet and the fitness stuff will start back up on January 2nd. So
there's a reason.
Maybe January 3rd. I might need that one day buffer, but
there is a reason New Year's resolutions are a thing.
Yes, and that's the other thing is that, God, when I do go back to the gym, it's all of the resolution people will be there doing their thing for like usually about 3 or 4 weeks, sometimes short. I mean, I go to no free ads or anything, but I go to a Planet Fitness, and I feel like there's an uptick of that there. Of the resolution stuff, but then like the downtick is even greater because it is a Planet Fitness. So, hey, that's kind of the boat I'm in right now. They did just open a gym down the street from me that kind of looks kind of cool. So I might check that out. But yeah, I gotta get back into between the holidays and being stuck with a recovering dog for like over a month from that surgery. I am like itching to like get on a treadmill or something.
Yeah. Well, speaking of New Year's resolutions, we're going to do those at the end of the show for Michigan Athletics, some New Year's resolutions that you want to see. But first, we got to talk about this bowl game coming up on Saturday because, well, it's a fun and exciting time, isn't it, Anthony, that we get these bowl games, and they're so ever important. And New Year's Six Bowls, man, you made it. You made it. I actually had this discussion with someone on Twitter. It was the fact that here's the thing about New Year's Six Bowl games. To me, it's a status thing, right? Like it's a sense of accomplishment for a pretty good season. You weren't good enough to get in the college football playoff, but you were good enough to get what everyone else considers to be a better bowl game than like the the Quicken Lanes Bowl or the Quick Lane Bowl, whatever it's called at Ford Field. You know, like the game itself, the outcome of the game isn't nearly as important, I don't think, as it is to get the invitation to a New Year's Six bowl game, because that shows that you had one of the better seasons in college football this year.
Yeah, I mean, it is a status thing. Like, you hear Peach Bowl, Fiesta Bowl, Cotton Bowl. I mean, what are the playoff? Is the Cotton Bowl, Sugar Bowl, and Cotton Bowl? Is that what it is, the playoff this year?
It's Cotton Bowl, and I think it's Sugar Bowl.
Yeah, they rotate. Shame on us for not knowing. That's not very good prep on our part, but hey.
But we would have known had Michigan beat Ohio State.
Yeah, I mean, we'd have discussed the bowls ad nauseum. Yeah, I mean, it is a. I think that's a, you put it in a pretty good way. A status, if whatever you want to call it. To me, it's perceived status, because at least from the Michigan point of view, like I'm not going to go down that road of like how the season was disappointing and how I was underwhelmed. Like we've done those shows. But yeah, to be in a bowl game where, yeah, it's, I think it's funny how we've kind of moved the goalposts a bit, where like, people were pissed off coming out of the Ohio State game and saying, oh, well, you know, it's not the, you know, wouldn't have even really cared if it was the Rose Bowl. Now that it's not, I don't care about this game. But then the closer we've gotten to the game, it's like, well, the Peach is a New Year's Six right up there with the Rose Bowl. I'm like, okay, relax. Like, I didn't even know the Peach was a New Year's Six game until this year, honestly. So maybe that even sheds a little more light on my lack of knowledge or lack of preparation. But yeah, I mean, it's, you are in one of the bowls that I'll say they matter more than most of them, obviously. That's why they're in that category of the New Year's Six. I mean, it's not the Cheez-It Bowl, or it's not the – which I didn't watch any of that. From what my Twitter timeline was trying to tell me, that may have been one of the worst games played in the history of the sport. Yet people were – it's funny. People on Twitter were tweeting about that as if it was Rams-Chiefs from like 3 or 4 weeks ago. It was kind of funny. I haven't really watched much of the bowls, to be honest. I actually, the first bowl game I sort of tuned into, and it was just kind of on in the background, was that bowl game on Wednesday that got canceled. So I saw probably the amount of gameplay that actually took place. And that was the only bowl action I've seen the entire winter so far. So
yeah,
I'm the authority on previewing these bowl games, let me tell you.
It really hasn't been. I don't know. Maybe the excitement's kind of taken out, but it's almost like it is, to a point. The fact that I don't think the bowl games have ever really mattered. I think it's just kind of it's a money grab, and it gives you some extra games to kind of watch. I mean, they really have never mattered, but even more so now that we have the college football playoff and everything is centered around, you know, you get the rankings with the college football playoff committee a few weeks before the end of the season, you know, starting up in October and whatnot. And it's all about the top four, you know, when it comes down to it. I think the Rose Bowl would have been different from my point of view just because of the name. And that's literally it, you know, if it's not a college football playoff semi. But the goal is to get to the college football playoff semi. It's not the goal for everyone, but it's the goal for Michigan year in and year out. And if you don't make it, it's underwhelming. And that's why you get, you know, what you get when you've played Florida, you know, whatever, three times. What is this going to be? The third time Michigan has played Florida since Jim Harbaugh started 4 years ago. And this is going to be like the third or fourth time they've played them in a bowl game in recent memory. I don't know.
It's the fourth time in 12 years. 10 years, something like that. I'll put it this way. And this is kind of this, I think this is a pretty decent analogy that kind of sums up my thoughts on the bowls in general. It's like, so the New Year's Six are seen as like the prestigious top of the line bowls. Now that there's the college football playoff, like the New Year's Six to me has the name New Year's Six. Like the Star Wars prequels had the name, like Star Wars. It's Star Wars,
right?
But it's real. It's not Star Wars. I mean, I'm gonna watch it because it's Star Wars and because I'm a sucker for things like that. But let's be honest, it's not the Star Wars that we grew up with, that we've grown accustomed to. So it's a little bit different in that regard. But yeah, when you talk about what's on the line, I mean, I guess we'll kind of move into that. 11 wins is hard to get. Like, I feel like 10 wins is pretty attainable, given what's in the Big Ten. Michigan, really, year in and year out, there are really two teams that really give them problems consistently. So, like, and they usually lose the best teams that they play. So, I feel like most years, 10 wins, obviously it's happened now three in the last 4 years of Harbaugh. I feel like that's pretty attainable. But to get to 11, which is something they haven't been able to do yet, I mean, yeah, that is, if you're trying to salvage anything out of this year, I mean, when it comes down to it, 5 years from now, 2 or 3 years from now, when people are looking back on the seasons that Michigan had, yeah, that loss to Ohio State was bad enough to where, like, it's going to always have an asterisk next to it. But if you look there, 11 and 2 is going to look a hell of a lot better than 10 and 3. So that's really the saving grace in this game for me, is that, you know, I realize that Ohio State and Notre Dame were better because they beat them and they're now ranked higher. I think that Michigan, even with the guys that aren't playing, is a better football team than Florida. So just take care of business and beat a team that you're supposed to beat, that you should beat. And I think it's going to be – a lot of people kind of have it penciled in as a win, even with the guys that aren't playing. But I think it's going to be a little bit tougher than some people are giving it credit for. So, yeah, it's going to be a dogfight. I mean, I don't know what kind of team we're going to come out and see. Not having Caron Higdon, Rashawn Gary, Devin Bush. I mean, Devin Bush, one of those guys alone being out. I mean, we saw throughout the year you could kind of stomach Rashawn Gary not being out there. But now you're talking about the heartbeat of the defense and arguably the heartbeat of the offense. So instead of being scared about that, because I just can't muster the fear to get scared over a bowl game, I'm more interested in, and I think we've talked about this before, I want to see what comes next now, because I just want to see what the replacements are going to do, because those are the guys that are going to have big roles next year.
Yeah, it's funny though, right? Because it's like, if you follow the team closely, like, I'm also excited to see Chase Winovich play one more game with Michigan, because he's been so fun, you know, to be a fan of on a team like this. He's really one of the only guys. Caron, it would have been great to see him one more time as well, but definitely looking forward to the future as well, especially at left tackle with Juwan Bushel-Beatty not playing here. This was kind of a surprise that kind of came out.
Yeah, didn't even really hit on that. That was, I mean, if you want to talk about what the most surprising of the four that are out are, that to me, that's it, because it's not like he's a guy that's highly regarded as a draft prospect or anything like that. Sometimes, you just look at the bowl game that got canceled. I mean, something happens and the game gets rained out, or, you know, say you are playing on a crappy field, and that won't be the case in Atlanta, because it is a retractable roof stadium and it is a gorgeous state of the art stadium that they're going to play the Super Bowl in this year. But, you know, just, something happens, you know, where you could get hurt in 5 minutes in a game that winds up getting canceled, or, you know, I don't know. I mean,
he's already hurt, you know, so I'm guessing that has something that's kind of playing into it a little bit.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I would think if it was a regular season game, some of these guys would gut through it, but obviously it's not. I think your service to the team, to me, I just kind of thought of this now in my head. Doesn't bowl season kind of feel like an extension or a beginning of what spring football is?
Yes.
Do you kind of get that vibe from it?
Exactly, because we talked about it, man, is that the team that stepped on the field versus Notre Dame this year was the same team that stepped off the field against South Carolina, and really that they took all through spring practice.
Yeah. So I guess the way I feel about it is that if you're going to go pro or you don't have any eligibility remaining, like, listen, to be out there one last time with your boys, I respect the hell out of that. And that's, I'm not going to say that any one decision you make is more admirable than the others. But I also understand if you have no further obligations to the team, because really the only people that benefit out of it are, you know, I know some of the coaches have like bowl game bonuses tied into their contracts at some schools. I'm not exactly sure what the, I mean, I know Harbaugh's probably got things like that for Big Ten title, playoff, stuff like that. But really all you're playing for is prestige, bragging rights, I guess. I mean, that one extra win. So once the regular season's over, if you don't have anything, if you're not playing for a championship, you have no, I don't see why you have an obligation to go out there and play. I don't
think there is one personally.
Your service is ended. These are scrimmages. They count against your record, but they're scrimmages. They're exhibition games.
It is 100% an exhibition game. That's really all it is, because win or lose, it's the same outcome, other than, like you just said, the record to your name. You don't advance. You don't go home. Like, both teams are going home after this. Yeah. It's both teams end of the season. This is a consolation bracket. And if you play fantasy football, it's like when you didn't make the playoffs and you're in that consolation ladder or whatever. Yeah. The games mean nothing, but you're still keeping points. You're still keeping score.
Speaking of fantasy football real quick, so I was in the title game in like the big league that matters, and I lost 204 to 113. Dude put up 204 points on me.
Good God.
At a certain point, I was rooting for him to get over 200, and it happened. So, hey, I got my money out of it. I rode Pat Mahomes to the very end. But, yeah, it sucks when you don't win a title, it sucks. And when you don't get a chance to play for a title, it sucks. So I get it. I mean, I know that there are people that are upset by it, and I'm not going to dog those people, because I can put myself in their shoes, because there was a time where I think I would have felt the same way about guys skipping out. What I would just ask of people is that instead of dogging the guy that's leaving, pump up the guy who's going to take his place. Like, I don't want to see the tweets at Rashad Gary or Caron Higdon that you guys, you know, you quit on this isn't what captains do. Devin Bush, this isn't what captains do. Captains don't quit on the team. You know, I want to see, if you're going to tweet at people, tweet at Josh Uche and Quiddy Pay and say, hey, go kill it. Go take this opportunity and run with it. Like, I'm not going to defend people that dog players that sit out of the bowl games, and I'm not going to rail against them either. But I think that's the way to go. I mean, because that's what it is. There's like, I don't know how many guys Michigan's going to dress for this game, but I mean, there's over 100 kids on the team. Right. So a lot of people stand to gain an opportunity from one guy sitting out. So let's see what happens. I mean, exhibition games are for all the weird and wacky stuff to go down. So I'm only as even with that Ohio State game, you dwell in it for a little bit. Like, you dwell in that one for a few extra days, maybe, because it was so historically bad. But even in the aftermath, I'm like, all right, where do we go from here? Like, yeah. What's next? I'm only ever interested in talking about what comes next. So I guess that's the growing up as a Lions fan in me, because the draft is always the
next year, man. There's always next year.
Oh, you got all this cap space, and you're here to get all, they got all this cap space, and you're going to have a top five pick in every round. Like, you know, this is the recipe's there for a quick turnaround. No, it's not. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. We'll let the Pride of Detroit guys take care of that.
Well, technically, what's next is the game Saturday at noon. And I don't really want to dive in. I don't want to break this game down because, well, you can tell where our excitement levels are at. But I still went and looked at some numbers, right? And it's kind of funny how narratives play a role in things, because all year long we've heard about Michigan and their offense and the fact that they need to change it. They don't have quick strike ability. You know, they're methodically kill you. They nickel and dime you. They beat you down with the body punches. We heard a lot of body punches this year, right? But on the flip side, so Florida's offense was really bad last year, but Dan Mullen, man, he came in. He is an offensive guru, an offensive genius. He really turned this Florida offense around. I mean, they are a thing. How are they going to match up with this Michigan defense? Because this is a great offense that Michigan is going up against, while Michigan themselves doesn't really have a great offense. A lot of body blows that plays complementary football to their defense. Michigan averages 427.3 yards per game. Florida averages 426.8 yards per game. Both teams average 6.2 yards per play. And you see that, and it just made me laugh on how just narratives, man, they really just drive points about every. They're the exact same offense. Like they put up the same numbers. One has been really bad this year. One has been really good in terms of narrative. It's just really funny to kind of, you know, break down the numbers and look at that.
It's like one of my favorite memes is the Spider-Man, right, the Spider-Man pointing at each other. So we've referenced that on this show a few times, but, which, by the way, I saw Spider-Verse over the weekend. It was amazing. I loved it.
Was it? I got to see it. I have to.
It was very good. I think you would enjoy it. But, yes, very similar teams. I think we talk about things that we want to see out of the game. You know, Michigan's defense, I mean, it's not it's a great defense. And they had a historically bad day at the office. And now they're going to lose – arguably their two best players, and now you're talking Chase Winovich. The story came out earlier on Thursday that, you know, he's foregoing a surgery for now to play in this final game. So they're banged up and they're going to be missing some guys. But what I want to see is how Dom Brown has coached these guys up over the last, whatever it's been, 5 or 6 weeks since that loss at Ohio State. I mean, I think that you're going to see a guy that coached his ass off. I think you're going to see – I do think you're going to see the defense play well. There's going to be some struggles there because you're going to be missing some very important guys. And like I said, I think that Florida – this is a little bit of a different Florida team, even though you only saw them, whatever it was, 15 months ago or whatever it was. So they're coached better. That's not a dog against Coach McElwain. It's just a fact. Like, that's why they are in the position they were to hire Dan Mullen. So, you want to see that defense play better. I think offensively, I'd like to see Michigan open up a little bit more. I mean, this is where I know that's such a tired old bit, and it's I have a feeling we're just going to see more of the same. But I also think that with Caron Higdon not playing, it's going to kind of force them to throw the ball a little bit. I'll tell you what, right now, off the top of my head, the thing that will piss me off the most while watching that game is if they try to run Chris Evans in the same type of role that they would run Caron Higdon in. Like, we've seen that. We've seen them do that before. They try to bash him in between the tackles, and it just doesn't work. So, I mean, opportunity for guys like True Wilson, Christian Turner, you're gonna see them get some extended run. So I'm excited to see that. I want to see if they open things up a little bit. Shea said he's coming back, and I have a feeling that I give him the benefit of the doubt that he said he's coming back because he has unfinished business to do. But I also kind of have a feeling he wouldn't come back without the assurance that, like, hey, we're going to take some steps to really build this thing around you and let you win some games for us here. Yeah. So, that's kind of what I'm interested in seeing right now.
For me, and I might sound hypocritical in this sense because, you know, I mentioned that I don't really care about the outcome of the bowl game. I do want to see Michigan play well. I want to see them win, obviously. You know, I'm going to spend 3 hours of my Saturday watching this game. I want to see them win. But last year, it was weird, right? Because Michigan was dominating South Carolina last year. They were dominating them. And then all of a sudden, everything just fell apart. And it felt watching it like, I don't know, Michigan didn't care if they won or lost that game. I don't know if they were just mentally drained from the season or whatever. But I want to see a team with the guys that go out there and play. And I know I sound hypocritical about this, but I want to see a team that goes out there, plays as hard as they possibly can, and gives a shit about winning that game. Because it should mean something to them. They're the ones competing in it. We're not. I'm not competing in the game. Anthony's not competing in a game. They're actually competing in the contest. Like, I want to see a team that goes out there and really cares about winning that game. Even when things get down, rally around a little bit. I want to see a team go out there and care and maybe find that killer instinct that they had during the revenge tour that they somehow lost in the Rutgers and Indiana games. From the time Penn State game ended to the time Ohio State started, they lost a killer instinct about them. I would like to see them go out and try and find that again.
Yeah, I think something, I don't know if you want to take this away as a positive or not. I'm pretty confident in saying the rock bottom was what happened at Ohio State. So they're not going to come out and play worse. So I think that is an intriguing storyline to me. Like, how did this team mail it in over the last month or so? Did it bring them together? Are they just trying to get, you know, are some of those guys just trying to get healthy and get to the pros? Like, I'm interested in seeing that. You're right about that bowl game last year. I mean, when Michigan was up and up pretty handily, we had left my house, my parents' house, to go to my grandma's house, which is like literally five or six minutes away. In the time that we drove from there, from point A to point B, I think South Carolina had the lead. Like, it was the most shocking, like, turn of events to that point that I, you know, it was crazy. Obviously you don't want to see anything like that. That was also a very young team last year. I feel like this is a veteran group, even with some of the guys that they're missing. You know, I think you're going to see them play with a chip on their shoulder. You know, it's kind of silly, but they do the little events and games all week with, you know, Michigan and Florida will do like, I don't know, a bunch of the media has been following around. They've been doing like bowling and some kind of trivia game show thing. You know, that sort of, you're around each other all week and you've been competitive all week. I think that adds an interesting little dimension to it because, yeah, you've kind of been competing against Florida all week, but it's not in football related stuff at all. So, I mean, that's to me an interesting little storyline, I guess. See how, you know, both teams are really going to be itching to get after it. And yeah, this kind of feels like a rivalry game now because they have played it so often.
Yeah.
But, we'll see how it goes. I think the things that I want to see and the things that would kind of concern me, I think I've kind of sort of gone over that already. And I don't know. I mean, like I said, this is going to be a little bit of a shorter show. This is more of a little like holiday special, so to speak, because we can't like be here and break this down for 45 minutes. Time won't allow for it. And honestly, I don't have enough to say about it to go that long anyways.
Well, you've mentioned, you know, what you want to see this Saturday, but what do you want to see in 2019 as a whole, you know, for Michigan athletics? Like a lot of sports, obviously, and we cover mainly football and basketball. What is a New Year's resolution for on your side that you want to see from Michigan?
Yeah, well, a resolution for me, and I've talked about this so an annoyingly amount on this show, is that I would like to see Michigan football adapt sort of like Alabama had to adapt, where it wasn't just going to be ground and pound anymore. Now it's just, you know, ground and pound is still there. It's in your repertoire, but kind of open things up, let your quarterback make plays and, air it out a little bit. I'd like to see that for Michigan football. Michigan basketball, it's not as much a resolution as it is what I'd love to see, something I'm looking forward to in the new year. I'd like to see Michigan get back to the Final Four in Minneapolis, in Big Ten country, and finish it off this time and get one for Coach B. I mean, I think all things considered, I think what would be the most satisfying thing in Ann Arbor with the athletics program now, period, would be that basketball team finally getting over the hump and finishing it off. So those are the two biggest ones for me. Michigan hockey sort of struggling right now. Would love to see those guys get back on track. But other than that, I mean, we primarily cover the big two. And I think I'm pretty confident that football will look itself in the mirror and do what it needs to do. I mean, you can't really make a ton of those changes now because you're still technically in season. You might experiment with some things in this bowl game on Saturday. But I do think after the season is over, there is going to be some reflection because, I don't think Jim Harbaugh is stubborn to the point where he's not going to, he's always said that he aspires for Michigan to be, quote unquote, the NFL's 33rd team. So I think that he will probably watch some NFL game film and see what teams are doing now because, you know, in order to get your kids to the pros, you got to do what the pros are doing. So I do think that they'll take a look at that, and that's something I would love to see next year. How about you?
So for me, man, it's really simple, and I don't know if this is a resolution or whatever you want to call it, but it's beat Ohio State. Like, that's literally has to be your entire New Year resolution for 2019. Like, that has to be number one on the list. Whatever you have to do to win that game, that's what you have to do, because we proved it this year. It proved itself this year, I should say, is that, man, we had such a good time with the revenge tour, right? Week in, week out, we're talking about it. Everyone's talking about it. National media is talking about it. Hey, look at this Michigan team. You know, they started off with a loss to Notre Dame, but they've beat three ranked opponents in a row in Wisconsin, Michigan State, and Penn State, and really handled it easily, fairly, for the most part, all three times. You know, Chase Winovich out here in the revenge tour. We had the revenge tour t-shirts. It was a great time. We are not going to remember this year for that. And that it's a shame to say, but we are not going to remember this year for that. We're going to remember it for the drubbing in Columbus. Like, that's what this season is going to be remembered for. And the fact that people want, you know, the offense and everything to change moving forward. That is what this season is going to be remembered for. So your entire resolution has to be beat Ohio State.
I don't hate that. That's, God, that's 11 months away already. It seemed like just 4 weeks ago it was a year away. So time is already flying by. Yeah, I mean, you have the golden opportunity to kind of, again, you couldn't close the gap on the field. Now let's see if an off season, if you know, Ryan Day, now mind you, if Ryan Day is able to pull off, you know, getting a Justin Fields as a transfer, that's a big deal for them. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, there's just certain, you know, we're talking about one of the three or four best college coaches ever in terms of what Urban Meyer is able to accomplish and what he's gotten out of his team. So there's going to be a natural drop off there. So we'll see what happens and if Michigan is able to benefit from that. But I don't think those are bad resolutions at all.
I agree. I think they're great resolutions. I think we got it all figured out, man. We just solved all the problems here.
Every I think problem. So, too. I agree. I have nothing to add to that.
Oh, man. Well, this has been our little shortened holiday episode here as we head into the bowl game against Florida on Saturday. So it's been a good one. It was short, but it was sweet and to the point. So, Anthony, where can we find you on Twitter? What you got going on this weekend? Anything special?
You can follow me on Twitter at Anthony T. Broom. Follow the website at Mason Brew on Twitter. Twitter for the show is at Brewcast Show. So bowl game Saturday at noon, and then I actually have floor seats, row one, dead center stage for Trans-Siberian Orchestra on Saturday night. So I am very pumped about that, even though it's after Christmas and it's a Christmas show. First row, dead center stage. How I pulled that off, I'll never know, but excited to do that. So that's my weekend. And then a lot of NFL playoff implications on the line on Sunday. So I'll have a full day of that headed into the new year. So that's what I'm up to.
I love it, man.
What about you?
You can find me on Twitter at Luke Ghiardi, LukeGhiardi. Go follow me on there. We'll probably be live tweeting the bowl game on Saturday and most of the Michigan basketball games coming up as we begin conference play after the new year. And coming up this weekend, just going to be, you know, watching some football this weekend. Not sure what's going on for New Year's or anything like that, but time will definitely tell. And I know we're going to have probably a full show coming up next week for you with Chris, Anthony, and myself, probably going to be coming after the new year, I would imagine, with New Year's Eve festivities and New Year's Day coming up on Tuesday. But we'll figure out the logistics of that without keeping you too informed. Just be on the lookout for that episode next week. So for Anthony Broom, for our partner Chris Castellani, who could not be a part of this show, I am Luke Ghiardi, and this has been another edition of Brewcast, and go Blue!